Welcome to Turkey Trend, part of Ahwal podcast series. My name is Navana Mahmoud. After meeting the new Prime Minister of Libya, Abdulhamid Dibeiba, in Ankara earlier this month, Turkish President Erdogan said that Turkey and Libya are committed to the maritime accord signed by the previous government of Libya in 2019. My guest today to discuss the relations between Turkey and Libya is Libyan expert Aya Burwila. Welcome, Aya, and thanks for joining me in this podcast.
Hello, Nirvana. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Aya. I have a few questions for you, but first, can you kindly explain to me who is in charge of foreign policy according to the agreement on the interim government, which was struck last February? Is it the Prime Minister Dibeiba or the interim President Menafi?
It is unclear who is responsible for foreign policy and foreign relations. Technically, it should be the foreign minister of the interim government. But what is clear is their mandate. And their mandate is to make sure elections happen at the end of the year, to unify government institutions, and to remove all foreign forces from Libya. So that much is clear. Right now, it seems that different responsibilities are allocated randomly. A lot of Libyans are wondering about the priorities, the current priorities of the interim government. But I do know that President Menafi is very much committed to fulfilling his mandate. He is very straight-laced and he's a stickler. And he's made quite a few announcements that their number one job and priority is to have elections at the end of the year, to unify government institutions, and to kick out foreign forces.
Right. Can you explain to me, I noticed there is a bit of contradiction between what the Prime Minister said in Ankara and what the President said in Athens when he pledged to renew negotiation on a maritime deal with Greece. Do you sense that there is differences in the interim within the interim government about foreign policy, relation between Libya and Turkey versus relation between Libya and Greece, or both of them, the Prime Minister and the President, are just saying nice things to whenever they meet whoever from the foreign players who are competing on the sphere in Libya?
I think it's a mixture of both. It goes back to what I said earlier about President Menafi being very serious about fulfilling his mandate and acting within his mandate. He has enormous respect for the legitimate procedures for everything. And as you know, he recognizes that this maritime deal that was signed by the previous government was unconstitutional. It was signed by an unconstitutional government itself. As you know, the JNA was never ratified by the Libyan parliament.
Indeed.
And the Libyan parliament formally rejected this maritime deal. So technically, for Libyans, there is really nothing to discuss from the past deals that the JNA has signed. So he's very, President Menafi is very clear. He does not want Libya to have a pariah status in the region as Turkey does today. And of course, he's open to opening negotiations with Greece because simply this maritime deal is illegal internationally and within Libya itself. Now, PM Prime Minister Dibeiba told the Turks that they will uphold this maritime deal. But I do believe in this stage, this is just words in the air. As it's internationally illegal, it's illegal within Libya. For this to be valid, it has to be ratified. This kind of agreement actually violates the sovereignty of Egypt, of Greece, of Cyprus, Libya itself. So even enforcing it, this government is going to be here only for 8 more months. So I do believe this is more a diplomatic effort from the side of Dibeiba. Having said that, Dibeiba has to be careful because I think Libyans were quite disturbed by the big delegation he took to Turkey. Right now, the Libyans were asking, what are our priorities right now? What is this new government's priorities?
Indeed.
Is it to, yeah, I mean, everybody was, what's going on? Are we here? Is this government here to fulfill its mandate or to continue to pick up the baton from the GNA and continue acting as a proxy for Turkish interests in Libya. So that was a bad PR move on behalf of Dibeba, who's been playing his cards quite well so far. But that was bad optics. That raised suspicions and questions among Libyans. And I hope moving forward that he'd be more careful about these kind of announcements and moves.
Okay, but the maritime deal is not the only part of the, is not the only aspect in the relation between Turkey and Libya. Turkey have invested in sending armed enforcement in Libya and many militant to in Libya to help the previous government in its war against its rival in Haftar forces. But now the UN envoy to Libya have said in an interview recently that mercenaries in Libya have overstayed their welcome and their time to leave. That obviously involves all mercenary, including the Russian one, including the Turkish one. Do you see Turkey willing to withdraw its mercenaries from Libya? And how much they are? I heard several estimates from as low as 5,000 to as high as 11,000.
Well, recent records that were leaked to Sky News Arabia revealed around 11,000 mercenaries, Syrian mercenaries, still in Libya. So these are the numbers approximately of how many mercenaries are still there in Libya. Now, is Turkey willing to remove their mercenaries from Libya? Absolutely not.
Wow. Why are you saying that?
They have no willingness. We are dealing with a country that's going to do what it wants to do. It has to be forced or pressured to remove these mercenaries. These mercenaries act like a protection soldiers for the racket that's going on in Tripoli. They ensure that the Turks can pressure Libyans via their proxy militias or politicians loyal to Turkey, that they get what they want. But there's been the Geneva 5 plus 5 agreement. It's very clear that all mercenaries, all foreign forces, and it's important to make that distinction as well, because not just mercenaries, there are foreign forces, there are Turkish officers in the capital as well. Right. Both Russian and Syrian have to leave the country. And this is even before the Security Council resolutions of last Friday. So this is this has to happen. Are they willing? Are they ever willing to do what they're supposed to do? So there needs to be pressure on Turkey for them to withdraw. I don't think it's possible to have free and fair elections when a country is under foreign occupation. Willing, they won't, but they must be pressured to do so. And they definitely won't go off their own free will. I do also feel that there might be other conflicts in the region. And one thing that might further motivate Turkey to remove its mercenaries if they feel like they need it somewhere else even more.
Right. But because now there is a competition between Turkey and Egypt, and to add complexity to the scene, Turkey is trying to reset its relationship with Egypt. But Egypt said that one of the preconditions to reset those relationships is for Turkey to withdraw its militant from Libya. How do you see the playground between Turkey and Egypt, Libya as a playground between Turkey and Egypt? Some fellow Libyan commentators have suggested or feared that other players will withdraw and leave Turkey as a under the Libyan, under the Egyptian-Turkish somehow mutual understanding of interest. Do you see that or no?
I think that's a very simplistic approach to Libya. First of all, Egypt is very serious about its security. There's no way the Egyptians are going to accept any foreign base right next door, especially the forces of a state that's known to sponsor terrorist organizations and Islamists. So this is a red line for Egypt. They know what a threat it is for their interests, not only their maritime interests, but also for their security, internal security. Now, we cannot, what many analysts tend to do, so there are a lot of foreign countries involved who have a stake in Libya, but not all countries are equal. You cannot conflate all the countries together. Turkish intervention in Libya is different from Egyptian intervention in Libya, as the relationship between the Egyptians and the Libyans. The Turkish intervention in Libya is in favor of proxy militias that have plunged the nation into so much violence and conflict for 10 years, and the Egyptians are acting as a counterbalance to that. So it's you cannot put Turkey and Egypt in on the same plane when it comes to intervention. It is because of Egypt that Turkey, since last June, was not able to move forward from the red line. They couldn't do that, despite Erdogan's theatrics and his claims that we're gonna advance all the way to Benghazi. It is Egypt that is maintaining the safety of the Libyans right now. So if people are suggesting there's going to be a sphere of influence, Turkey needs a counterbalance. It needs a powerful, Egypt is the country that is able to stop Turkey from advancing. And that's, I believe that that's policy that they're going to maintain. They're not going to accept a foreign base right next door.
Yes, I have to tend to agree with you. But can you explain to me, within the Libyan interim government, mm-hmm. which part is supported by Turkey? Or does Turkey support the outsiders of the government? Because this is a little bit a gray area for me. And how can Turkey either support the election or prevent the election from happening, which I think it should happen in December?
So Turkey and their Islamist proxies, the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya and other factions, they are very committed to making sure that the elections don't happen.
Don't happen.
They do not want, well, let's go back in time and see what they did in 2014. In 2014 is the last time Libyans had elections. And when the Islamist parties lost, Turkey's proxies, Operation Dawn, staged a violent coup.
I see, yes.
And so they have not wanted elections for a very, very long time. They know Islamists don't have a future in Libya, perhaps even more now than before, because for the past 6 years, Libyans have suffered so much under an Islamist government in Tripoli and Islamist militias. So they know that if we have elections at the end of the year, they don't have much of a chance of winning. So they're going to they're going to continue doing what they've been doing for so long, and it's to sabotage elections. In the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum, we've had reports of members trying to do away with the presidential elections, which, by the way, is not in their mandate at all. Right. They're continuing to find political maneuvers to make sure Libyans don't have a voice and don't have a vote. And as you know, there is Turkish forces have not left Libya yet. When are they going to leave? This is a question you asked earlier. This is a question on everybody's mind. So they're going to act as spoilers to the bitter end. And that is why there needs to be a coalition of countries friendly to Libyans to make sure that Turkey is contained.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I read news yesterday that there was some tension in the capital and the militia in the capital are not particularly happy with the private forces which is loyal to the government. Is one of them are loyal to Turkey, or am I misreading that?
Well, here's the thing with the capital. One of the biggest problems, politically, everything has been going exceptionally well for Libya.
Right.
Last Friday was a historic moment. The international community is finally serious about making sure Libyans have real democracy. Mm-hmm. After so long.
Sure.
And so politically, it hasn't gone well for the Islamists. But yet, even though politically we've advanced, the facts on the ground stay the same. Right. There's still militia cartel in Tripoli. Operation Dawn is still there.
Yes.
There are the guys with the guns on the ground. What are we going to do about them? And this goes back to how Libyans are feeling right now. With the foreign policy behavior of the interim government. What Libyans are seeing is that we have urgent matters at home. For example, demilitarizing Tripoli. Mm-hmm. And the PM is going on a world tour.
Right.
Not emphasizing the removal of militias and armed gangs. And the armed gangs are business as usual. They're fighting each other as usual. A lot of people don't, it's not used in the mainstream news, but these militias shooting at each other, fighting each other is so normal in Tripoli. They've suffered under these militias for 10 years now. Even last fall, when the citizens of Tripoli decided to march, and this is under the GNA, by the way, the so-called UN-backed government, they got when they marched and protested, they got gunned down. So this situation is still there. There needs to be practical steps. The UN has recently decided to send observers, but more than observers, there needs to be disarmament of these militias. So we need to see practical steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is fascinating, and thank you for your insight. I have one last question for you about the Algerian angle. How Algeria views the situation in Libya, and how do you see the relation between Turkey and Algeria within the Libyan context? Are they both countries see eye to eye, or they have difference?
So Turkey is very much invested in keeping the chaos going. Because chaos means Libya is more vulnerable for its predatorial goals. A unified Libya, a sovereign Libya, means less business, less predatorial business opportunities for Erdogan and his inner circle. Whereas Algeria is very much invested in its security.
Right.
A secure, unified Libya is good for Algeria. They spend a lot of money each year just keeping their borders secure. And as you know, Nirvana, Algeria itself went through a brutal civil war for around 11 years against the Islamists. So they know how dangerous this situation is. And I read a report, actually it was from Sharq al-Awsat, that Turkish officials met with the Rashid movement, the people from the Rashid movement in Turkey. And this upset the Algerians very much because they consider them an extremist group. So right now, the Algerians are noticing that the Turks might try to do their normal modus operandi, where they nurture proxies, Islamist proxies, inside foreign countries. So that was a point of tension between Algeria and Turkey. Recently, the Algerians visited Tripoli. They invited President Minfi to visit them as well. So Algeria is very much interested in a secure Libya, whereas Turkey is not. So this is a point of contention between the two countries.
Aya Bruila, thank you so much for joining this podcast.
It's a pleasure.
For Ahwal Trend. Thank you so much.
You can follow Ahwal News online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.